Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here after a 6-3 Blackhawks loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets here at the United Center. You can call or text 312-981-7200. Taking this postgame show up to 5:30 today. And to help me break down this kind of chaotic game is Troy Murray. Troy, 9 goals total between the two teams. Hawks scored 3 power play goals. They scored the first goal of the game for the 7th straight game. But unfortunately, they don't come away with this one victorious.
You know, again, I look at some key moments in this game. And, you know, Blackhawks were, as John said, very good with the man advantage. 3 power play goals in this game. But if you look at it, 1:28, 1:50, and under 3 minutes, the response came from Columbus. So any momentum you gained on those man advantages were taken away quickly by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Give them all the credit in the world for how hard they played after those goals were scored, not to give up the momentum and keep everything in their favor. This is a hard-working team for Columbus. Very impressed. You know, they don't really have a superstar on there. Zach Werenski, though, is having an amazing season. He's got to be factored into the Four Nations tournament for Team USA. But, you know, everybody else basically is in that group where they're big, they're hungry, they work hard. Dean Evanson's got them playing the right way. And I think there's a lot of belief in the way that they play and the style that they play that they'll be successful. They give up a lot of goals. Blackhawks scored 3 goals, and you know the way things have been going, that's pretty good for them. But Columbus averaging 3.5 a game, giving up 3.5 a game, and if you look at their goal differential, I think it was 1 coming into this game. But the Blackhawks just failed to gain momentum in this game and take control of it. They scored the first goal 2:59 into it when they had a power play opportunity, but quickly thereafter, that momentum was taken away, and you want to play with the lead, and all of a sudden they started to chase the game, and every time they'd tie it up, great response from Columbus. So that's a key issue that Luke was talking about after the Minnesota game, killing those plays and keeping or taking away the momentum, depending on which side of the equation it's on. But they failed to do that, and that was a big reason why they lost this game.
Those quick strikes after a goal is not really something that has plagued the Blackhawks this season. It was something last year that was a bad trend. So it was unfortunate to see those kind of old habits find themselves into this game. And you think about it, too. I think 3 straight games now, the Hawks have scored within, like, the first goal, within the first, like, 3 minutes of the game. I know that in the Dallas one, it was 17 seconds in, and they were able to filter that into the game. It's unfortunate that the last 2 games, they've scored early, and they haven't been able to kind of build on that.
Yeah, and that's something they have to work on. And you know, by now, the players all know those key situations. They all know those moments when you got to be better, and they're just not handling it well, and they're making mistakes. And Friday afternoon, they had an opportunity to clear the puck out of their own end of the ice right after they scored, but they didn't. Minnesota capitalizes right away, and in 15 seconds or 17 seconds, they scored those 2 goals, and the game completely changed. The complexity of the game completely went in the other direction. And now the same thing has happened here this afternoon, where the Blackhawks had some opportunities to build on some momentum, keep their energy on their side, and Columbus just took it away. And these guys, you know, I mean, they're all pros, so they've been playing in these situations their whole lives to get to this point, but they're just not handling it the way they need to, and they need to be better in those areas.
What is it about the shifts after a goal? Are you riding the adrenaline where you score a goal, you feel good about themselves, and you kind of lose focus for a little bit and think like, okay, we're in this hockey game? Or what is it about the shifts after you score the shift or two after that there are some mental lapses there?
Well, I don't know if they're just mental lapses. They just have to be better. They have to find a way to work through those situations. And, you know, I took a lot of pride. If I got the tap on the shoulder after our team scored or the other team scored, I knew what that tap on the shoulder meant. It's a big shift, and you have to go out there and you have to find a way to get the job done. And they're just not doing it the way they need to. And it's not something that you can just sit there and X and O's it out. It's just the will has to be stronger, and you just have to recognize those key situations. But again, I give Columbus a lot of credit. I mean, they're the ones that forced the issue after those goals were scored, and those are opportunities for the Blackhawks to continue on and keep the momentum on their side and keep the game in a position where, you know, the one shot can make the difference, but it kept getting away from them, and they just never got that momentum. So they have to find a way. I'm sure it's something that Luke Richardson will be asked in his post-game press conference about, you know, how you deal with this. It happened on Friday, and it was a bigger issue overall last year. But, you know, in these two games, very winnable games where you're in it and you put yourself in a position, but you failed to execute where you needed to keep everything in your favor. And, you know, if they don't straighten that out, you're going to kind of get the same results. But again, I give a lot of credit to Columbus. I mean, they worked hard, and they didn't get deterred by, you know, the crowd here at the United Center getting revved up. Three power play goals should be enough in a game to win it, but it wasn't today.
Yeah, the three power play goals for Chicago, it felt like a big deal, because the Hawks went a stretch there where they had only one power play in five consecutive games. So five power plays over a five-game span. What did they finish with? Six power play opportunities. Today. So they had more power plays than they had over a five-game span from a few weeks ago. And it just feels like a wasted opportunity for Chicago not to be able to use the three power play goals and use it to win a hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you score three power play goals, you think you're going to win the game. And it's the second time that the Blackhawks have had three power play goals. They went 3-for-3 against the Edmonton Oilers early on in Edmonton when they won that game. But 5-on-5 play, haven't even looked at it, but there's got to be some ugly numbers as far as the plus minuses in this game. You know, Alec Martinez, a -4.
That's funny, you know, but Connor Bedard had 2 points, but he was a -4.
Yeah, so Bedard was a -4, had 5 shots on goal. So, you know, the plus minuses sometimes come into a different situation. There's an empty netter there that you really can't do a whole lot about. But, you know, when you're scoring on the power play, you're not getting any pluses in that situation because it's a man advantage. And then when you look at it, you know, Bedard a goal assist, 5 shots, -4. That's not going to bode very well. Kurashev was -2 in this one. You know, he's now at -19, and that's one of the worst plus minuses in the NHL. And, you know, they just kind of got to work through it and be better 5-on-5. You know, Taylor Hall was -3 in this game, so that top line kind of struggled 5-on-5. And those are some of your players that you count on, and, you know, to make the difference. And, you know, Bedard, if he's going to be out there in those situations after a goal or after a power play, whatever it is, I mean, he's got to find a way to be stronger in those areas.
I guess a silver lining to them scoring three power play goals today, even though it came in a loss, is what it could do over the last few games. We saw 6 goals against Dallas here, 3 power play goals today against Columbus. Can it continue the snowball effect of building some momentum with this offense and hopefully translate into the 5-on-5 game at some point?
Yeah, I mean, for the Blackhawks, you know, power play goals in 4 of the past 5 games, so it's really trending in the right direction, but now they got to figure out how to be better 5-on-5. If you're creating more opportunities, if you're spending more time in the offensive zone, you're going to get those chances on the power play. They weren't creating those chances because they weren't spending time in the offensive zone, so that's the good thing. The entry's got to be better, but once they get in the offensive zone, they've done a nice job of moving the puck around, changing it up, and whether you're skating or you're passing the puck, there's movement involved, and they've been able to open up some plays, and they've been able to capitalize on a real nice play in the third period there to go from Bedard over to Teravainen to Foligno. It was just bang, bang play, and nothing that Columbus could do in there. So great execution on that. And so that's going to build some confidence, but at the same time, when you give up 5 goals, without the empty netter being included, you have to be better 5-on-5 defensively. I thought they were sloppy in some areas. I thought Peter had a couple that were maybe savable. And those make a big difference. The Blackhawks have had great goaltending. It kept them in a lot of these games. And now for a game where it's maybe an average goaltending game for Mrazek, it was, you know, a difference in the game.
The Connor Murphy hit on Marchenko feels like kind of opened this game up a little bit, because Hawks go on a power play because of the instigator penalty from Voronkov, and it just kind of Hawks ended up scoring on that power play to make it 2-2, and then the Hawks had a chance to make it 3-2 on the Reichel
chance.
And I wrote down the Hawks actually had a couple chances. It was the Taylor Hall one after they went up 1-0 as well. But I think it was Kent Johnson that made the block.
Yeah,
So there were a couple chances for the Blackhawks to actually build on their previous goal. But unfortunately, Merzlikins was up to the task, or the first one was a block shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good effort by a forward to come back and make that defensive play down low in front of the net on Taylor Hall, and then a great save by Merzlikins as he stretched out there. He just got his right skate on it. Great setup from Maroon to Lucas Reichel. Some of those type of plays make the difference in the game. When you look at their goaltender, made some big saves. Blackhawks did score the three goals, but Merzlikins was really good in this game. And for them to get that block shot at the big time, for the guy to come back and defend in that area, that's a big play. And those little plays come into the big picture in a huge way to try and decide whether you're going to win or lose a hockey game. And Columbus did a lot of the little things better than the Blackhawks did, especially 5-on-5.
Hawks are going to be in Toronto tomorrow, so flight right after this. Look, presumably Arvid Soderblom is going to get the start for the Blackhawks. And you mentioned it, two of his five wins last season, Arvid Soderblom got against Toronto, one of which was here in this building in overtime. And then this first one in Toronto, that was probably one of the best starts of his NHL career.
Yeah, he was really good. I remember that game up in Toronto especially, and I think that when you factor into who was going to play today, who was going to play tomorrow, they looked at, Soderblom, the way he's played against Toronto. It's a high-octane team, and they're playing extremely well right now. As I said, 8 wins in their last 10 games and closing in the lead in their division, so it's going to be a tough challenge. They've got their captain, Matthews, back in the lineup now after he was out with an upper body injury for a long time. So they're getting healthy at a good time of the season for them. But they weathered the storm without their captain. They're a good team. They've got Marner. They've got Nylander. I think their goaltending is a point of concern moving forward. If you look at some of the matchups in the Eastern Conference, does Toronto have the better goaltending? I would say no. But this is going to be another good challenge for the Blackhawks, though, falling 6 games under the 500 mark. They've got to find a way to win some games here and put a string together.
Toronto had a weirdly good stretch without Austin Matthews.
Overall record for Toronto with Matthews out of the lineup has been really good over the years.
Very strange. I feel like it's one of those things where you lose your best player and you're like, oh, everyone's got to step up their game. And it's just kind of like a challenge.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of players there that are high-end elite players in the game, and those players all stepped up. Marner has been lights out in the absence of Matthews. Nylander's had a real strong season. Tavares is a veteran center, knows when he needs to be better, and so they're getting the job done. And I'm a big fan of Craig Berube's, and I think he's doing an excellent job. But it seems like there's a different vibe going around the Toronto team that was always, oh, they can win in the regular season, but they can't win in the postseason. I think the way that they're playing as a team, they're playing a better team game, and I think that's going to bode well for them moving into the playoffs.
Have a safe flight. We'll talk. Well, you'll be in Toronto. I'll be downtown Chicago.
But let's talk tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
is that a deal?
We'll talk tomorrow. Sounds like a good deal.
Can't wait.
Okay, keep my seat warm on the airplane next to Panger, please.
Yeah, if there's a name chart on there and you're in it, I'm in trouble.
I had to keep your seat warm when you were gone.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Very nice of you.
That was the great Troy Murray. We're waiting for some sound to roll in from the Chicago locker room, but the Blackhawks postgame show rolls on.
Arber Xhekaj of the Montreal Canadiens. And boy, those two exchanged punches for about 30 seconds. He's tough. Here's a shot from the near circle. Glove save is made by Peter Mrazek. Kent Johnson snapped one in from the right circle, and Mrazek might have made a game-saving save right there.
That was today's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. That is probably one of the saves of the year in the NHL by Peter Mrazek, getting over from his right to left and gloving it out of the air. It looked like it might have gone off. It might have grazed the Blackhawk defenseman sitting in front there. But it was a fantastic save by Mrazek. Not the best night for him, or the best afternoon, giving up 5 goals on 35 shots. The 6th goal was an empty netter for Columbus. Tough game for Mrazek last game, too, giving up that goal on the game winner for Minnesota, where I'm sure he would love to have that one back. But Peter Mrazek, I think he is the last guy I'm concerned about for Chicago, but I'm sure he would have loved to have a couple goals back in this game. Let's go to the Blackhawks locker room right now. Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno addressed the media just a bit ago.
Seems like every time you got a goal, they got one right back on you. It's kind of a familiar story.
Yeah, that was the disappointing part. It just seemed like we couldn't get anything rolling, especially after that first power play goal. You kind of think you got, you know, some momentum, and then they come back with 2 quick ones. And, you know, it's the lulls in these games right now that are hurting us, and it's the story tonight.
We were talking about the understanding situations yesterday, and does that kind of fall in that bucket where the next few shifts after a goal you have to keep the pressure going?
Yeah, of course, especially after a goal like that, they're going to push, right? And we just didn't step up to the task of that and understand the momentum swings of the game. And, you know, we get one back, and then we're just a little too loose. Just seemed like that, you know. And they're an offensive team. We'll give them credit, but that's how you smother a team like that, by just making them have to come through you and not giving them those opportunities. And just seemed like a little bit too much time and space in a lot of those goals. And you know, we have to rectify it. It's another team that can make you pay real quick coming tomorrow. So you know, it's been talked about, and now we got to put our work boots on.
It seems like this was a night that Mrazek needed the defense to step up for him for once.
Yeah, I mean, he's played great, so I think it was everybody tonight. It just wasn't good enough, and, you know, that's a team that's feeling good about themselves over there too, right? They're on a little bit of a streak and feeling good about their game, and we didn't answer the way we needed to play, in the sense of just the urgency and the battle and the compete and the time and space. And when a team's feeling good about themselves, the one thing they don't want is to have to fight through everything, fight through their opportunities, and you know, that's where we just fell short tonight. We just gave a little bit too much space to some of these guys that you should smother, and you know, they make you pay.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. He scored his 7th goal of the season in this game. It was on a 5-on-3 power play. He's now 2nd on the team with 7 goals. Craig Smith, by the way, also scored a power play goal, his 6th of the season. It was his first one on the power play, though, this season. And originally, well, he scored the goal before Foligno, and so he came into a 3-way tie for second on the team with 6 goals, but Foligno ended up pulling away to stand alone in second after scoring the power play goal. So, by the way, Craig Smith, he's been awesome for the Blackhawks this season. I think he's now on a 21 goal pace this season. So nice to see Craig Smith get on the board again. Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic also spoke to the media. Let's hear what he had to say.
What do you guys have to do differently on the few shifts after a goal to prevent those kind of answers?
I think just play simple. I think we got to play a little bit more direct. I feel like sometimes there's a little bit of disconnect between players or lines or whatever it may be. I think we just got to work to know that you know, it's just going to be the first pass you see. It's going to be the simple play until we can kind of get in the offensive zone and then maybe get skating around a bit.
What were they doing that was challenging to cover, I guess, in the defensive zone?
I mean, they play pretty physical. I think that's something that they've had success with. They've got some big guys on their team, and they've also got some skilled players. So I think a combination of both, and you find yourself kind of getting stapled to the glass, and their skill guys kind of take over from there.
Is it particularly disappointing because it was a great night for the power play?
I mean, sure, it's a good thing, I guess, but it doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, I mean, we've been feeling good about it, but still losing games, so it doesn't really help.
That move that Connor had, even though he didn't score in the second period, does that just show? Have you seen him just feeling more confident and kind of showing that out there?
Yeah, I think the last 2 games, Minnesota and this one, he's looked really good. He's moving his feet and skating. I think that's something he's getting better at. And yeah, he's obviously got the hands and the vision. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before. I mean, he's started to do really well this last couple of games, so it'll keep going.
I think you had 6 shots on goal tonight. Have you been making more of a conscious effort to shoot more?
Yeah, I mean, I think on the power play, it's for me, that's a big aspect of why I'm there. I think just kind of keeping it simple and getting pucks to the net. And I had a number of good looks. I think I got to do a better job of scoring. I think on that partial breakaway, I might have been able to tuck that one in if I kind of just take it to my forehand instead of shooting on my back end. So I'm just trying to contribute offensively since we've been struggling a little bit.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic. Had 6 shots on goal in this game, which led all skaters. By the way, we got that Four Nations tournament coming up in February, but the rosters are going to be due, I think it's on Wednesday, December 4th, they're going to be announced. I do not expect Alex Vlasic to be on Team USA's roster, but boy, he has definitely played himself on their radar for Team USA potentially in the 2026 Olympics. There was a play on the third power play of the game for Chicago where Vlasic, just his blistering, powerful speed and stride, ended up creating a scoring chance for himself. And there were quite a few instances today where I saw Alex Vlasic beneath the goal line in the offensive zone because he was just trying to generate some offense. So he has become a very, very nice, well-rounded player for the Chicago Blackhawks. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this and listen to a little bit of Luke Richardson's postgame comments. You're listening to Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Back here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fell to the Blue Jackets 6-3 here in Chicago. Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson just addressed the media a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss.
I know we've talked about it quite a bit, but you know, how can you guys avoid giving up that goal after you get one?
Yeah, it's just you know, it's just irresponsible, really. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's not the timeline, it's just how we're getting scored on in a game like tonight. It was just obviously too often. You know, one of the worst goals against outings for us this year. But, you mean, just a team like this, we talked about them being an odd man rush team, and that's what we really needed to stay away from and make them work for everything. And I think we kind of gave them the game they wanted. And, you know, I know we were kind of pressing after they scored that second goal. The rest of the game, we're kind of behind. But we can't trade chances with a team like that. And I think, you know, that's kind of what led to goals coming too quickly against us.
On that fifth goal, is Teravainen need to back check more to get that trailing guy? Or?
He just got on. It was a bad line change. We had two. So we had a little bit of pressure. I think it was Connor's line out there, and they were doing a good job in the O-zone. And that's what we need to do. But we continually need to recycle someone to the slot to be a good F3 above. You know, I mean, I know, even though when you get a loose puck around the crease, you got to take a chance and go get that when you're losing by one goal. But we still got to be on top of them. So we gave them a four man line rush again, and you know, we had, I think, you know, Hall and Kershaw changing, you know, tired. So Teravainen just gets out there. The only thing I thought, Martinez did the best job he could on an outman line rush against to delay it, put it to the outside. But once a shot came in the rebound, I think Connor over back checked a little bit, but he, you know, give him credit, he's the one that stayed out and back checked. But if we can stop in the slot right in the front of the crease as a forward and let the D's take care of that blue paint area and whacking rebounds away. But you know, they were fortunate. They did a good job of being in the right spots.
Mrazek's been so good and so consistent. Is he maybe feeling the workload a little bit right now?
I don't know. I think, you know, obviously that was a tough luck one in Minnesota, obviously, for him to give that up. But and you know, and he obviously knows that. But he wants this workload. He wants these games. He feels healthy. You know, he made some spectacular saves again tonight. You know, we have to do a better job of the game plan against a certain team like this. They're dangerous on the line rush, and they leak that way. If we can stay above them in most areas, like guys like Wierenski and their speedy forwards, it helps out our D and it helps out our goaltender. So I don't think we did a great job, you know, in front of him tonight.
Well, given that it seemed like there were some
really casual turnovers. Did you talk to them about that?
Yeah, like we talked, we showed some last game where we thought in the middle of the game in Minnesota where that hurt us, and you know, it was a bit of a carbon copy of that in the first period. I thought we had a better second period, but then the third period we just, you know, I mean, we're probably pressing too much to try and tie it without having patience enough to play the structure. So, you know, when it's time to strike, we strike, and when it's not, we don't get down by two. Then it makes it very difficult.
Foligno's talked about having a better understanding of situations and needing to do different things in different situations. Is kind of, I mean, Columbus scored within 3 minutes after all three of your goals tonight. Is that the kind of situation where just maybe a little bit more awareness of what you need to do in that spot?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, I think, might be a coincidence. It happens to be 3 minutes. Like, you know, we didn't have a bell on it when we were going to play risky. I think what it was is we weren't aware the whole game on what staying on our game plan. And that's the frustrating part. Like, we talked, you know, all morning before the game in our meetings about what type of team this was, and we even mentioned it yesterday in the meeting to get ready and prepare that, you know, we don't want to be in a track meet up and down. That we don't do that. We haven't done it all year, and we haven't been scoring a lot 5-on-5. So why would we do that? That would be, you know, irresponsible of us, and, you know, we kind of somehow got sucked into that game. And I think that's just being disciplined on our game plan, and we got to be stronger in that. And I think that's the situation that today is the whole kind of ball of wax put together. That's the situation Nick's talking about. You know, I think you get into certain little situations at the end of periods and after you score, for sure, we want to have a good first shift, whether we scored or whether they scored. We want to make sure we have a really good shift. And I don't think, you know, they didn't score, I don't think, back-to-back shifts, kind of like they did the last game, but definitely too often.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson recapping this one. By the way, a fun matchup between Connor Bedard and Kent Johnson today. They are childhood friends. They trained together over the summer. Really, really close friends. They both ended up scoring a goal in this game. Kent Johnson is a number 5 overall pick by Columbus in 2021. So I wish, I'm sure Connor wished he would have had the win in this one. All right, today's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Next game is Toronto tomorrow at 6:30. They were 8-2-0 without Austin Matthews, who returned to the lineup yesterday after missing 10 games with an upper body injury. Matthews had 2 assists in the game, 2 shots. He won 16 of 24 faceoffs and ended up logging 20 minutes and 23 seconds of ice time in a 5-3 win over Tampa on Saturday. So it looks like he's in full throttle. The Toronto Maple Leafs have dealt with quite a bit of injuries. Max Domi is out with a lower body injury. Then Pacioretty, Camp, and Callie Yarncro are all on LTIR for the Maple Leafs, and somehow they've been finding a way to kind of grind through this stretch. Mitch Marner has been excellent for the Maple Leafs, 31 points in 23 games this season. Hawks better be ready for Toronto because it feels like they are really finding their stride under Craig Berube. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Want to thank all the help we had on the broadcast tonight. Our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Tony DeNardis, Colin McCarthy, and Frank Ruggeri. They were led by our engineers, the captains, Paul Zerang at the United Center, and Krista Flores at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, I'm Charlie Meliotis signing off after a 6-3 Blackhawks loss to Columbus. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.